All this life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. That's absolutely true. We so many lay up treasures here on earth where moth and rust do corrupt, but our instruction of the Lord is to lay up for treasures in heaven. And, you don't see no one carrying the old saying, you don't see no U-Haul behind a hearse. Can't take it with you. So it'd be better to invest in eternity. Amen. Appreciate that song very, very, very much. I hope you'll give that some thought. And this morning, it's good to have Brother Brian Cohn and his family with us, missionaries to Thailand. We've supported them now for this first term. It's this your first term, right? Finished up your first term out of the Joshua Baptist Church down in Joshua. And I told Brother Cohn a while ago, I said, Facebook has its challenges and also has its good things. Sometimes I just get that close to taking myself off Facebook and to throw it in the depths of the sea and never be remembered anymore. It's a Bible reference, by the way. And because it's just so full of junk, and I can't people, it really bothers me, people put their personal stuff on there, and man, if they have a fight with their spouse, they're fighting over Facebook, and I don't get it, they're talking about their babies and kids and some things that I would never put out publicly, but that's up to them, I guess. We live in a different age, I reckon, that's a good Texas term. But Facebook does have its benefits. And one of the benefits is, I'll get to the positive here, that it's good to see most of our missionaries have Facebook pages. And you're able to keep up with them pretty often. I mean, I know Brother Cohn posts on there pretty often. You can find out what's going on. And it's just amazing. And you may forget to walk down the mission hallway here and read their letters, which is on this side. But it's good to have that continual update on Facebook. Also, I know we have visitors here this morning, so let me kind of just tell you what's going on. This is our Focus on Mission Sunday. Again, what I said a while ago, our church lifeblood should be missions, whether it's home or abroad. As independent Baptists, we support our missionaries individually. In other words, we support the families individually, to them specifically, directly to them. There's no very little bureaucracy. There's very little very little money that is spent in paperwork. Last time there was any research done, I think independent Baptist, the bureaucracy is about 4% or maybe less, and just gets to them. And so what happens is they go to the field usually for 3 or 4 years. A family will go to the field for 3 or 4 years, and then they'll come back to the churches that support them and report and say, hey, here's what's happened the last 3 or 4 years. And then they'll go back again, and they'll maybe take a year to report to their churches and take a little bit of time for their family and get to see family and do those things, and then maybe raise a little bit of new support from some new churches, and then they'll go back to the field for 3 or 4 more years, and then they'll come back and just kind of repeat the process. And so this is our opportunity this morning to hear from our veteran missionary, a missionary that we've invested in, the missionary we've had a part in, the missionary who has gone to the field and who is working there in the field on our behalf. And there is fruit to our church's account. And by the way, to your account, as when we get to heaven, talking about that stuff that'll last till we get to heaven, this is it, the fruit that that will remain. So, Brother Cohn, would you come? And he's going to show a video as well as preach to us this morning. And we do this about 3 or 4 times a year. And I'm so thankful for our missionaries and the sacrifice they make to go to a foreign field. Leave the United States of America. That's a sacrifice in and of itself. And to go to the field, leave family. And so we pray for them. So come on, brother.
Sure. Wadikop, wadikop. One thing in Thailand that's different from America, we don't shake hands. So that's how we say hello. Swadikop, swadikop. It's much easier, a little bit cleaner. We got back to America, everyone wants to shake your hand. I'm like, all right, hold on just a second. You can shake my hand. I want to thank Pastor Crawford and Heritage Baptist Church for having us back, but also having us before. When we came the first time, this building wasn't here. We were, I guess, on that side of the building when we were first here. So I don't know how long ago, but that's how long ago we were here. So, and ever since that time, you folks have supported us, and we appreciate it. So what I want to do is, Pastor Crawford, I don't know if you drink coffee. You do not? Okay. Not a big fan of it? the staff does. Okay. Well, they probably have to have coffee then. There's a man in our church, Grace Baptist Church there in Bangkok, that owns his own coffee field up in northern Thailand. He harvests those beans, brings them back to Bangkok, has a coffee factory, processes those beans. And I brought back quite a bit of coffee for all of our supporting pastors. So you can either drink it yourself or you can share it with others. So I just want to say thank you, sir. Well, Kun Bonchu, he told me there's a little hole. You squeeze it and it shoots out so you can smell during services. I know, there is a hole there. Kun Bonchu is a great man in our church, has a great family, loves the Lord. And so we brought that back, and so hopefully now it's up to pastor and the staff whether they want to share it with the whole church, and so maybe just each get an espresso shot, but we appreciate your faithful prayers and support. Now, I'm not sure if I'm the only special missionary, but I saw two of my prayer letters in the hallway, so I don't know if that's for everybody or just for me, so I felt pretty important there. So I was like, oh, there's our prayer letter, and there's our prayer letter as well, so we are double prayed for. Tong chun chom yin di nai ong pra ben jiao tuk we la ka jiao ka yam ikrung wa jong chin chom yin di tet. That's Philippians 4:4. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. In our first time, we have many things to rejoice over, and I'll show you a video. Many discouraging things, but many fantastic things. So the video is only about 6 minutes long, but for those 6 minutes, if you can imagine, if the rapture were to happen tonight here in this area, how it would affect industry and traffic and other things. In Bangkok, where the percentage of Christians in Bangkok is less than 0.25%, if the rapture would happen, most people would not notice. So if you watch the video and could imagine that as we take just about 5 or 6 minutes, thank you so much.
Thailand is a nation with a population of over 68 million people. The capital city is Bangkok, a modern megacity with a population of over 15 million people. It is a nation of large modern cities. Half of the population lives in developed urban areas. It is a nation of farmers and rural tribal people. 40% work in agriculture. It is also a nation of extreme luxury and tourism. Bangkok is the second most visited city in the world. It is also a nation of poverty and slums. Thailand is a nation that is rich in culture and pride in their country. Founded in 1238 and never colonized by a European power. The king has reigned since 1946, but it's a nation in turmoil. Currently under the rule of a military organization, Thailand has more military coups than any other country in the modern world. With mission work active in Thailand for almost 200 years, the nation is still predominantly unreached and unaffected. 94% are Buddhist, 5% Muslim, less than 1% Christian. Thailand is the lowest percentage of Christians in the world that is not a Muslim majority country. How can a country with so few Christians make an impact for the Lord? In a dark world, the future is bright. The Khon family came to Thailand with a goal to learn the Thai language, the culture, and to share the gospel of Jesus Christ during their first term. They have had the great privilege to serve at Grace Baptist Church during this time. There they have served in several ministries that they have seen God move in a very special way. Every Sunday, Brian teaches a group of young professionals that have recently graduated college. These are the future leaders of the church in Bangkok. Jamie teaches an adult English class every Sunday morning. Each Sunday, after an hour of English, they listen to a Bible message, and every week, they seem to be more and more interested. With these classes, they have different activities for fellowship and allow the Christians to intermingle with the lost. The pastor at Grace Baptist Church is now retired, but still serving. So to assist him, Brian preaches at least two Sundays out of the month. While serving on their first term, the Khons have been involved in several camps. Youth camps and family camps are very popular, but the most fruitful camp is the English camp. Last year, a young girl named Jane came to the English camp. She listened intently every night. In the last day of camp, she trusted Christ as her Savior. It has been a full first term, but the Khons are anxious to return to the field. At the beginning of their second term, they will continue to study the Thai language, and Brian's plans include preaching and teaching in the Thai language. Their goal is to assist Grace Baptist Church in their transition to a new pastor. The Khons are praying about three different areas in Thailand that have fewer than 0.25% Christian in the entire area. They are praying for the Lord's direction in which area God would have them begin a work in. Please pray for the Khon family as they continue to serve the Lord in Thailand.
All right, if you have your Bible, turn to Mark chapter 5, verse number 21. While you're turning there, if I can ask you a few different things to pray for us. Of course, pray for our traveling as we visit most of our supporting churches and other new churches. But if you could pray for our church there in Bangkok, Grace Baptist Church, for the next pastor. It's a great church full of great people, but they do need a new pastor. And if you also, in that same prayer, pray for a young man named Michael, the man that owns the coffee shop that I gave Pastor Crawford. He has a son named Michael. He has just graduated about a year ago with his engineering degree there in Bangkok, and he's now working at the coffee factory with his father. He's considering ministry. He asks me questions all the time. And so if you can pray that God would lead that young man into ministry. If I was going to call the next pastor of the church, it would be him, but God has to call him, not me. But just 2 weeks ago, he did message me, and he said, "Pastor Brian, what do you think if I could serve in ministry and work and manage my father's coffee shop, do you think that would please God? Is that okay?" And I went on to explain to him that many pastors have a job and are pastors also, and some have to do those things. And I said, God could be pleased. He's like, "That's exactly what I was asking for, and I wanted to know." So pray for young Michael as he makes decisions how the Lord would lead him. Also pray for my wife's English students. They love my wife to death, but since she's been teaching for the last several years, we've not seen any of them saved. They all come, they're all lost, they're all Buddhist, and they come to English, but they all listen to Bible, a Bible message But none of them have been saved yet. Now, many of them are getting closer and asking more questions, more interested. If you'd pray for that. They like her so much, the very last Sunday before we left, none of them showed up to class just because they didn't want to say goodbye to their teacher. And so pray for that. Pray for a man named Mu. In Thai, Mu means pork or pig, and that's his name. Everybody in Thailand goes by nicknames. I know here in Texas, everybody's Bubba or Sissy, but there in Thailand, everybody has nicknames. His nickname is Mu. He owns the restaurant near our house. It's a fantastic restaurant, and because I am an expert in food, as you can see, I know what's good. And so we've recommended this restaurant to many people. So his business has grown because some foreigners have talked about his business. And so he's very, very gracious man, very kind to us, gives us and does many things for our family. The last Sunday before he left, he was going to come to church, and the restaurant held him up. He couldn't come. But pray for Mu that he would get saved. He's going to come to church one day. We talked to him many times about the Lord. Pray for Mu and his salvation. He's a great man. He takes good care of our family, gives us plenty of food to eat. And like Brother Crawford was saying on Facebook, you know, we do put a lot of ministry stuff, but I'd say it's probably about 50% ministry, 50% pictures of food. So that's I don't know if you do that here, but... in Thailand, I don't know what we used to do before. It was like, hey, man, I had a burger for lunch. Oh, okay. All right, talk to you later. All right. So, but now we have pictures you can send. So, in Asia, everybody takes pictures of the food. So, that's what we do. In Mark chapter 5, starting in verse number 21, two great stories of God healing. And I would love to pick and choose the verses to read, but I just don't think it would fit if I do that. So, if you would... bear with me as I read these verses here. And I want to apologize. I had all of my sermons saved on an external hard drive, and apparently it crashed. So I'm trying to do this the best I can. Most of my messages I steal from Brother Kirk Kirkland. I don't know if you know him. I steal all mine from him. So if this sounds familiar, it's because it's one of his. But no, I'm just joking. Verse number 21 says, "And when Jesus passed over again by ship unto the other side, much people gathered unto him, and he was nigh unto the sea. And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet. And he besought him greatly, saying, My little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. And a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing better, but rather grew worse, when she had heard Jesus come into the press behind him and touched his garment. For she said, If I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned about in the press and said, Who touched my clothes? Jesus, just like a good lawyer, never asks a question he does not already know the answer to. And his disciples said to him, Thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest, Who touched me? And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. When the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him, and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace, and be whole of thy plague. While he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, Thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any further? As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he saith unto the ruler of the synagogue, Be not afraid, only believe. And he suffered no man to follow him, save Peter and James and John, the brother of James. And he cometh to the house of the ruler of the synagogue, and seeth the tumult, and them that wept and wailed greatly. And when he was come in, he said unto them, Why make this ado and weep? The damsel is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn. But when he had put them all out, he taketh the father and the mother of the damsel, and then they're with him, and entered in where the damsel was lying. And he took the damsel by the hand and said to her, Talitha kumai, which is being interpreted, Damsel, I say unto thee, arise. And straightway the damsel arose and walked, for she was of the age of 12, and they were astonished with great astonishment. Look back at verse number 35, and the question was asked of Jairus, Why troublest thou the master any further? Dear God, thank you for the day. Thank you for the opportunity. Lord God, I pray that you bless this time of the service. Lord God, give me the words to say, the things that I've studied to prepare that you wouldn't have me to say. Lord, I pray that you remove them from my thought, my memory. But Lord God, I pray every word I speak, Lord, would be pleasing unto you. Lord God, I give glory to you. Lord God, be with the service in Jesus' name. Amen. Two people came looking for Jesus this day. One person was a man who enjoyed his daughter for up to 12 years. Had things that fathers and daughters do. Probably had a discussion with her how that she would never be able to be married until she was 40 some years old. Maybe had a discussion with her of how much he loved her. Maybe took her on a daddy-daughter date night. Amen. But those 12 years he had with his daughter, and it seemed as though that to him it might be ending. And then you have the other one that has 12 years of a terrible, terrible disease. You have one man that is a ruler in the synagogue, possibly a wealthy man, had many items. He had much money. And then you go to the other person that was spiritually, physically, and financially bankrupt. People turned to the leader, to Jairus, quite possibly because he was a leader in the synagogue. They turned to him for advice. But because this young lady was sick with this issue of blood, people turned away from her. So you have two different people, but for a moment I want to look at Jairus and who he was and what he did to do something for his daughter's life. First, I want you to look at Jairus' position. Jairus' position. Look at verse number 22. And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet. He was somebody in the community. A ruler of the synagogue was a very important. He wouldn't just handle the services on Sabbath, but all throughout the week, if there was disputes or problems or different things, Jairus could possibly be the one that would handle a problem between you and your neighbor. Jairus would be a man that quite possibly you would come and ask for advice. And back in those days, somewhat like today, they would take care of the leaders in the synagogue. And so he was probably maybe not a man of great wealth, but he was very well taken care of financially. And so he was an important man of the community. They knew who Jairus was. So I can imagine that when Jairus would walk through the community and the city, that he may realize that he was someone of great importance. And people came to Jairus for advice. He didn't go to the people. So he was somebody important. I don't know. It's difficult to see when someone walks with a lack of confidence or has no confidence. But there are some men that want to walk like they're much more than they are and have great confidence. And I can imagine that maybe Jairus might be someone like that. But I remember, not that I am some big deal, but I feel like I had things together here in America. And then I go to Thailand and man, I'm just a big nobody. Heavy on the big, because I'm like the biggest guy in all of Bangkok there. They're like looking at me because I'm huge. But I went there thinking, man, I got this. And there were so many roadblocks and different things. It was very, very difficult. But I had great confidence that I could do so many things. And I felt like I had accomplished things by the time we're done with our first term. But on our street, there where we live in a neighborhood. We don't have gates or anything like that, but there's dogs, stray dogs everywhere in Bangkok. The king loves dogs. The Thai people love dogs. The Buddhist culture is you don't hurt any living thing. So because of that, stray dogs are everywhere. You don't kill dogs. You don't put them to sleep and different things like that. So there's stray dogs everywhere. So on our street, when you go to walk on our street, just dogs just start barking at you. And I remember first, before I got a motorcycle, I had a bicycle. So I was riding my bicycle road, and the dogs are barking at me. I'm like, listen. And I'm the only foreigner that lives on this street. You guys are going to have to get to know me. I'm going to be here a while. And eventually, they start, oh, okay, we know who you are. And they wouldn't bother me. Because, hey, they know who I am. I'm somebody now. The dogs know who I am. My neighbors know who I am. We have a big, giant mango tree in our... We have a very, very small yard. I don't know how big it is. It's small. But we have a big, huge mango tree. About 100 mangoes every year come out of our mango tree. And I don't really care for mangoes. So we pick them, put them in bags with a track and an invitation to church, pass them out to all our neighbors. So my neighbors know who I am. I'm the mango guy. No one else got mangoes. And then I started passing them out, and I went to the pastor of the church. I was like, yeah, we were passing out mangoes. And he goes, really? And I gave some to the church. He goes, you know what those are? He goes, those are the best quality mangoes that are produced in Thailand. I said, really? He said, yeah, those things are like $3 in U.S. dollars. That's about $3 a mango. And I said, I'm kidding. It's like I passed out like 100 of those things. He's like, man, no wonder your neighbors like you. And so I'm walking down the street. I'm somebody. They know I'm the foreigner. They know who I am. They know I'm a Christian. They know I'm a preacher. They know my wife teaches English. I'm somebody. And so like the last few weeks before we left, I got on my motorcycle like I did many times to run up to the store to get something for that we needed. And I'm driving down the road, and the dogs start barking at me again. I'm like, do you forget who I am? Man, I'm Ajahn Brian. I'm somebody. You guys have forgotten who I am? I'm the only foreign dude. You guys love me. Sometimes I throw out rice for you guys to eat. And they'd forgotten who I am. And I can imagine that Jairus thought he was a big deal until his daughter became sick. And he was a man in the community that was very important. And he changed to a man who was falling down at the feet of Jesus. Now, I don't know if you've ever been a point in your life where you needed God so much that you don't care what's going on. It's time to just be you and God. And it's time to beg. You realize at that point in time, Jairus had a high level, maybe a high idea of himself. He was a very important man. But at that point in time, he didn't care what anyone thought of him. He needed to find Jesus. Now, if you've never gotten to the point of your life, God may have some things in your life to bring you to that point. But Jairus cared about nobody else. There was a young man here in Texas that was an All-American football player. And he was a Christian. Everybody knew he's a Christian. And they asked this young man in a television interview. Asked him, we want to know how a Christian football player deals with all the peer pressure, all the parties, all the girls. How do you deal with all the peer pressure? And this football player said, I am the peer pressure. I pressure other people to do what's right. Jairus cared nothing about anyone else except for his daughter and the Savior at that time. First, we see Jairus' position, and then next, I want you to look at Jairus' passion. Look at verse number 23. It says, he besought him greatly, saying, my daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay hands on her that she may be healed, and she shall live. Jairus' passion first forced him to make the correct decision. The correct decision. He besought him. He found the Savior. Many things happen in our life. We go many different places. We go to family. We go to banks. We go to different people. But if we would just go to Christ and make a correct decision when a problem comes, it may solve other problems down the road. And Jairus might have went to many different ways, many different ideas, maybe many different schools of thought, but he decided, I'm going to go to this master. I'm going to go to this teacher. I'm going to go to this man and see what he has to say, because I care about my daughter so much, I'm willing to do anything. I don't know if you've ever had a sick child, but we did while we were in Thailand. Our son, in the middle of the night, his windpipes or his larynx would just close up, and he would sit up, for about a minute. It would go on like that. And then eventually it'd stop, and then he'd go back to sleep. What scared us to death. And we were going to neurologists, and we were going to different doctors there, and couldn't find an answer. And we were writing prayer letters and putting, please pray for our son. We don't know what the problem is. And I was willing to do anything to help my son. Amen. But I knew all the doctors he saw, the best thing would be the Lord. And eventually, he was healed of it, and we thank God for it. But I know what the feeling is of having a sick child and trying to do whatever you can to make sure that that child gets better. And can you imagine Jairus' passion of, he said, I've got to get to the master. Now, his passion also forced him to be urgent in his decision. It says he sought the master, but he did it greatly. He was adamant about it. He was going to do it no matter what. He was going to get to the master. Some of the commitment level that we have today is very, very minimal. But at this point in time, Jairus said, hey, no matter what, I'm going to Jesus. Now, we may have a hangnail and skip church tonight, but Jairus was going to get to the master. Oh, and by the way, if you're going to pick a service to go to today between this morning and tonight, I would go to tonight, okay? So if you pick this morning, I'd go ahead and go tonight so you can go to both services. But if you're going to pick one, I'd pick tonight. So, but you messed up and already picked this morning, so come tonight. It forced him to be specific in his demands. Do you see what he asked Jesus? He said, come, lay hands on her that she may be healed. He said, I know who you are. I know what you've done. I know what you can do. Some of us have forgotten how powerful our God is. And some of us forget, God, if you will do this, I know something can happen. My family and I, we go to Thailand, and our main goal is to see lost people saved. That's our main goal. But our secondary goal is to learn the language, because if you don't learn the language, then people talk about you behind your back and you don't know what's going on, okay? But our main goal is to learn the language. The people know that Thai is difficult, but they appreciate you even trying. But we have a passion to learn a language, and we try so hard, and you practice, and you go, I got this. And so one day I would go into class, I'd say, you know, wani pom glua mak nakrap. So I'd say, today I'm very nervous. But instead, I would say, wani pom gluai mak nakrap, which means today I am very banana. So you can have a great passion, but unless it's directed properly, it would be a big failure. I would also say people are very concerned about my health in Thailand. They don't mind asking me over and over again, how many kilos are you again? That happens every day. How many kilos are you? Listen, it's my business, my kilos, okay? Keep my kilos to yourself. So I tell them, I say, you know, wani pom sukopap dikun nakrap. And so I'd say, today I'm getting healthier. We got an elliptical machine. The only place in our house is to put it in the living room. So we were working out and exercising and eating better and stuff like that. And I was giving my neighbors, I was like, hey, can you watch the house while we're gone? I gave them some Chinese sausage to cook. And like, hey, you know, we noticed, of course, this is all in Thai. We noticed when you came from America, you were really fat. But you're not quite as fat now as you were. So, and we watch you working out. You're doing a good job. I was like, man, you psychos, quit staring in my house, checking on my exercise. We watch you all the time. You're doing a good job. Hey, thanks a lot. And they're all thin as a rail, everybody over there in Thailand. So but I would say, sukopap dikun nakrap. So I'm getting healthier. But instead of that, I would say, sukopok dikun nakrap. So I'd say, instead of getting healthier, I'd say, today I'm getting dirtier and dirtier. So... He had passion, but it was directed correctly to the Lord. We all have great passion for different things. Man, I love sports. I love to watch sports. So I love sports so much I do fantasy sports, which is not even real sports, it's fantasy. But I like real sports so much I like to pretend other sports. And that's a passion, but there's no greater passion I have than the Lord. And I'm so thankful that He saved me. But Jairus' passion at this time was to see his daughter healed. And he knew only one person could help. Next, I want you to see Jairus' persistence. In between him asking Jesus to come, there was another lady that interrupted. I don't know if you care for interruptions, but I don't really care for interruptions. And I can imagine as excited and involved, and he wanted him to hurry along, that this woman getting in the way, although she had a terrible disease, he was probably upset. And he realized he had such an extreme responsibility. He had a child that was dying, and he must get Jesus to the child. And we need to have that much persistence. We need to get Jesus to the dying, lost people of the world. There are dying souls everywhere, and they need Jesus. There is a dying sunset. The world is growing more wicked and more wicked, and drawing further and further away from Christ. The time is short when you can share the gospel any longer. There's a dying sunset. There's also, we need to see a dying Savior. to tell them. He was persistent. It says, can you imagine that Jairus was showing Jesus where he lived? Said, Jesus, I need you to come this way. It's just this way. And all of a sudden, boom, the woman comes. And I can imagine Jairus, hey, lady, I'm trying to get him to my daughter. You don't understand. My daughter's real. Yes, you have an issue of blood, but my daughter is sick. I need Jesus. And he was continuing to move Jesus. And all of a sudden, the news came. She's dead. She's gone. Why are you bothering Jesus anymore? And so that's the question this morning. Why do we do what we do? Why are we troubling Christ? Because we know he is the only answer. We know he is the one. But he was persistent. I bet he was agitating. I don't know if a child has ever asked you to do something 1 or 100 times, but that's the way Jairus was. Jesus, we got to go. Hey, and so the man was like, hey, there's no more wasting time. And Jairus said, if this man is who he says he is, I know he can heal my daughter. I got to get Jesus to my daughter. And he was persistent. And I imagine Jairus saw that he healed that lady, and he was even more persistent after that. If he can heal her, well, I know he can heal my daughter. That's no problem. Jesus, you got to do something. We got to get there. But the lackadaisical and the willy-nilly way that we present the gospel and tell people about Christ and live the Christian life is definitely not the way Jairus was anxious and the persistence that he had. His lost passion. We were at McDonald's. I don't know if you ever go to McDonald's. Some of you are like, ooh, I don't go to McDonald's. Well, like a billion people do. So someone's going, okay? Someone's keeping the doors open, all right? And I guarantee you, the French fries they make at McDonald's is better than anything your mama made. I guarantee you that. We're at McDonald's, and this guy, we're up in Seattle, and he goes, hey, there's no pickles on my burger. And they go, sir, there's a pickle right there. No, I want more than that. That is not sufficient amount of pickles on my burger. And I was like, all right. And he goes, okay, sir, I'm sorry. We'll make you another burger with pickles. He goes, all right, can I keep this one? I was like, bro, you don't want it. Why are you asking? He's like, well, can I keep this one? And he goes, okay, well, yeah, go ahead and keep that one. He goes, we'll give you a burger with more pickles. He goes, all right. He goes, well, I need something for my inconveniences. And they said, what? He goes, well, I didn't have enough pickles on my burger. Can you give me like a chocolate shake or an apple pie or something for my inconvenience? I'm like, my goodness gracious, this guy's getting 2 burgers, extra pickles, and some milkshake because he didn't have enough pickles on there. Why? This guy was persistent. He wasn't backing down. He'd come back to the table. Yeah, well, I told him, you know, I wanted more pickles, and they didn't have pickles. And so I let them know I should have had more pickles on that burger. And this guy was upset. He got like 2 burgers and a milkshake and everything else. Why? Because he was persistent. But the way that we tell people about Christ, goodness gracious, if we do at all. But if we do, just like in Acts 19:11, and God wrought special miracles in the hand of Paul. And we're about to see special miracles. I know many of us could use a miracle in our life, but couldn't you use a special miracle? Something greater, something amazing. It would be great today to see someone get saved. That would be a great miracle. But you can only see those things through, lastly, Jesus' power. Jesus' power. You can see 2 examples of Jesus' power. If you're going to experience Jesus' power, number one, faith is mandatory. Faith is mandatory. Do you see what he said in verse number 34? And he said unto her, daughter, thy faith has made thee whole. Thy faith has made thee whole. And then he told Jairus, as soon as he heard the word that was spoken in verse number 36, he saith unto the ruler of the synagogue, be not afraid, only believe. Man, only believe? You're telling me I don't have to go to church, be a member, give, and get baptized to be saved? He said, no, all you got to do is only believe. Man, that seems so simple, but for some reason so many people complicate salvation. He said, only believe. This morning, it just takes you trusting Christ, and he is willing to save you. And that would be an amazing miracle. So we saw Jairus' position, his passion, his persistence, but then we saw Jesus' power. And as soon as they saw the little girl healed, in verse number 42, it says that they were astonished with great astonishment. When God does amazing things, it's amazing to see it happen. When God can save a drunk and he's an ex-drunk and no longer a drunk. God can save a broken home and make it no longer broken. That's an amazing miracle. When God can save the person that's so close to hell that you think, man, there's no way that anybody can make that happen. God can do those things. Why? Because of the power of Jesus. Let me tell you one story of the power of Jesus and we'll be done. There in Thailand, we were going to language school and we needed someone to watch our children so we could go to language school. Someone in the church suggested, oh, there's this young girl here. She's in college, but she'd be glad to watch your kids. And so we trusted them and let her come and watch the kids. And in Thailand, even though you're in college, you're still considered a teenager or a young person. So not that the people in Thailand are immature. They just grow up much slower than here in Thailand. And so she would come and watch our children while we went to language school. And so they would play hide and seek and different things like that. And she was, 19 or 20 years old. She was very bright. She went to Taiwan to study Chinese, and she was going to be an accountant. When she came back, she had a large mass on her face. She went to the doctor, and they found out it was cancer. They were going to go in and remove some teeth and remove the cancer, and they realized the cancer is too far gone. There's nothing they can do. So they began to hit her with chemotherapy and different things like that and try to save her life. We sent in our prayer letter. We begged God, God, heal Nong Pla. Heal Pla. We love her so much. A great Christian. Pla came to the church to learn English when she was a teenager. Came for many, many years and she got saved. Well, for some reason, in February, God saw fit to take Nong Pla home to heaven. But we visited her many, many times in the hospital there towards the end, nearly every day. And we would pray and pray for her healing. And the one thing, hey, what do you need? What can I get you? Her one prayer request every single time we saw her was Ajahn. Ajahn means pastor in Thai. Ajahn, my family, none of them are Christians. My family, they're all lost. Ajahn Brian, if I die, who is going to continue to tell them about Jesus? I just want them to get saved. I just want them to be Christians. I have sisters. I have a brother. My family, my father, my mother, all my family, none of them. I'm the only Christian in my family. Ajahn Brian, I want them to be saved. But on a Sunday, Nong Pla passed away. In the Buddhist culture, you have a funeral is 5, 6, 7 days because they have to have time to grieve because they have no hope. They're sad. They have no heaven. So the Christian church, we do that and we do a funeral for 2 or 3 nights. Allow people to come to drive in and different things from different areas. So we had 3 nights of Pla's funeral. She's just 20 years old. And 3 different nights, nearly 200 people came to her funeral. 90% of these people have never been to church. 90% of these people have never heard the words, Praja, Pra, Yesu, the name of God, the name of Jesus Christ. They'd never heard these things. So hundreds and hundreds of people heard the gospel for the very first time because Nong Pla lived a life and proved who God was. Jesus' power. And his power is just as real in Jairus' life as it was for Nong Pla as it is in our life today. Jesus has the power to heal, but he has the power to save our soul. What is your position? What is your passion? What are you passionate about? Jairus wanted to get Jesus to his daughter. Who do we need to get Jesus to today? Every head bowed and every eye closed. Right now, we have a time of invitation. Maybe God has spoken to your heart. Maybe you're here this morning and there's never been a time where you've accepted Christ as your Savior. Right now, if you die today, you're not sure that you would go to heaven when you die. Today could be a day. Maybe you came today so that you could come to Jesus and not to be healed from a great sickness, but the disease of sin, and you can go to heaven today. Dear God, I pray as we have our time of invitation that you would bless, that you would speak to hearts, speak to people. And Lord God, those that are lost on their way to hell, Lord God, I pray that you'd speak to their heart, help them to realize they're lost on their way to hell, and you are the only one that can save them. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. With your head back.